Tonight we're going to start out. This is not the last lesson. It's the last lesson, but we're going to split it in half because it's a big one. But this is one of the most exciting ones of all. And we're going to be looking tonight at, review will be the final judgment. That's not so exciting. But then the final eternity, our eternity with the Lord, heaven and all, the whole eternity, is an exciting thing. But before we do that, let's just take a little bit of review here. Who can list the six last judgments in order? That's kind of a big question there. How about just listing them without them being in order? Let's list some of the last judgments. All right, let's back it up a little bit. Any answers? Oh, all right, I'll give you the answers and we'll talk about it. All right, there was a judgment seat of Christ. That's for the Christians. Then there's the tribulation in the Old Testament judgment for the people from the tribulation in the Old Testament. Then there was the living Jews as a nation would be judged. And there's the living Gentiles as a nation will be judged. And Satan will be judged. And then there's the Great White Throne judgment. All right, so we talked all about that last time. Okay, what will Satan do when released from the pit? Yes?
He'll be released for 1,000 years.
No, he's going to be in there for 1,000 years. What's he going to do when he gets out?
Well, he's going to try to deceive everybody again.
Okay, he'll deceive the nations. All right, that's right. He'll tempt the unbelieving millennial.
Granted that's what he would do. That's him.
Okay. All right. How will God quash Satan's rebellion? That last rebellion, how's God going to put it down? John Ray?
Fire from heaven.
That's it, fire from heaven. Okay? And who will still be alive and suffering in the lake of fire when Satan enters it?
False prophet and somebody else.
Who else? The beast and the false prophet. Very good.
Beast.
Okay.
What about the beast?
Okay, so tonight we're just talking about our eternal home. And it's quite a long lesson, so I divided it in half. So we'll have half of it tonight, half of it next week, and that way we can enjoy it both times. But I want to look up a lot of the verses because these are exciting verses for us. And I don't want us to miss these things because these will be good. First of all, the Bible speaks of three heavens. Anybody know what those three heavens are that the Bible speaks of? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, almost. Jared?
I didn't hear everything she said, but...
Okay, you start over
there. The New Jerusalem, the actual cube-looking heaven, and then the actual, like, space heaven.
Okay. Well, let me give you the answer, and that'll help us, okay? All right, first of all, the first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth, okay? Where the birds fly, where the airplanes fly. All right, that's in the scriptures. James chapter 5 and verse 18 says, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth the fruit. Yeah. All right, so that's the part, the rains, the sky, the clouds, the birds fly in it. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the outer space where the stars are. Genesis 15 verse 5 says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look toward the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. All right, so God told Abraham to look toward the sky, to the heaven, and see all the stars that were there. So that's the second heaven. The third heaven is the one that you've all touched on, various aspects of it. It's the dwelling place of God, and it will include the new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem. So all of that's our abode, our eternal abode. That's what we're talking about here tonight. The new Jerusalem, the new heaven, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 12. And I'm going to be having you help me look up some of these verses, but I'll read the first few here just to get us started. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar of in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him, my new name. All right, so here God talks about the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. We're going to be talking all about that kind of stuff. Okay? All right, and I won't. The reference there in Corinthians is just another one that refers to the same thing. Okay, so then the new heaven and the new earth, right? The old heaven and the old earth will be destroyed. Revelation chapter 21. Open up to Revelation 21. We're going to spend a lot of time there tonight. Not all of the verses we're going to be looking at are in Revelation 21, but a lot of them are. Okay, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And verse number 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." All right, so God says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and they're going to be unique. This refers to the physical earth and the first heaven, or the atmosphere, probably the second heaven as well, the outer space and stars. Can't be sure about that, but at least the first heaven around the earth. Okay? All right, so he says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, as we think on this, John recorded that they will pass away. All right, so he says they're going to pass away. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Anybody want to read that one? 2 Peter 3, 10 to 12? Garrett's looking it up. We'll let him do it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. Familiar verses, but important ones for us to remember about the destruction of the present earth. 2 Peter 3, 10 to 12.
"But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being in fire shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with fervent heat."
Okay, so we see here that this earth is going to melt into a puddle. God's going to destroy it, and he's going to create then a new heaven and a new earth. And all of God's creation in Genesis will be destroyed. All right, so they'll be destroyed completely. God's going to start over. Now, this will take place just before the final judgment. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. We read that, studied that last week. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Right, that's probably referring to the fact that at that point, the earth and the heaven, they said they fled away. They couldn't endure the presence of God. Perhaps that was the time when he destroys the old heaven and the old earth. Right, any questions about this before we press on? A little diagram here. You can see all the spheres around the earth that are in the atmospheric heaven around the earth. So I put that up there just for kind of reference there. All right, now, God will create a new heaven and a new earth. We saw that in Revelation 21:1. And the new heaven and new earth will be completely new. The Greek term there means recently made. Recently made. So it'll be something that God just recently makes at that point. And they will be totally different from the present heaven and earth. They will be made just for immortals. Right? These are mentioned in Isaiah 65:17. Right? So I need 3. The ones we're already at. Who wants to look up those three? We've got one of those three. Isaiah 65:17. Any volunteers? Mel? 2 Peter 3:13, Sean, and, I got another one, Isaiah 66:22, Isaiah 66:22, Garrett. All right, Mel, when you find that, you can read that one.
"For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind."
Okay, so God's going to create new heavens and a new earth. Then, Gerhard, yours was the second one there, Isaiah 66:22.
"Yeah. Whereas the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall the seed and the man remain."
Okay, good. And then Sean, 2 Peter?
"Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness."
Okay, so this just describes this new heaven and new earth, Revelation 21:1, we just saw there that he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and there'll be no more sea. And so we can see here these are going to be brand new, something that God's going to create. And it's what it's going to be like, we don't know. Whether it's going to be resemble this earth that we're on now, don't know. What he's going to put on that earth, he's going to have trees and flowers and birds, and I don't know. He doesn't tell us all those details. All we know is he's going to create a new heaven and new earth. He doesn't tell us what all he's going to populate it with, but it's going to be for us.
No sea.
Yes, there's going to be no sea, and we'll see that right here.
Yeah,
on the new earth, there'll be no more sea. And so it'll be not a water-based earth. And so there's talking about H2O water. There's going to be other. It talks about water in heaven, but it's evidently not the same kind of water that we have now. All right, Peter.
I'm not sure what it means, but it's interesting in Isaiah 65:17, it says, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. It sort of gives us a clue about what it would be like.
Well, it's possible that it's referring to that aspect of it, or it could even be that it'll be so much better than the old one that who wants to even think about the old place. It could be a little bit of both, maybe, but it's possible that God's just going to make it so that we just don't even think about the old earth again. You know, there's
we're going to be immortal. That means our bodies are never going to be decayed.
Right.
Which means why do we have to drink water and why do we have to have food?
Both.
We're going to be.
Yeah, that's true. Probably won't.
Well, I need all that.
Okay, and Peter tells us that therein dwelleth righteousness. All right, Brother Sean read that. So this new heaven is going to be a place of righteousness. It'll be a perfect place. Probably resembling a lot of similarities toward the Garden of Eden when God first created it. But we can't be sure. He said it's going to be brand new. It's going to be so totally different and new. It won't be a place. You know, I often wondered, why did he tell us there's not going to be a sea there anymore? What significance does that have? I mean, why did he even make that comment? What difference does that make? I don't know the answer to that. But, you know, this earth, you look at it from satellites, and there's a lot of water on this earth. Right? And the new heaven and earth, apparently there's not going to be. So God's going to make it a place for us to dwell in. It is true, just second January, it is true that all the water out there, it's got a purpose here, but we don't live out on the water. I mean, a few people live out on their boats, but most people don't. So the water's kind of wasted space in a sense. So maybe the new earth isn't going to have that. January?
So on the new earth, there will be humans working with you. See, there will be
No, the Bible doesn't even say that there's going to be animals there. So that's only a hope and a guess, too. I don't know. So I don't know an answer to that one. That's a good question. Maybe he's going to make I was going to say immortal animals, but I guess maybe that's not the right thing to say. But animals that wouldn't die in some way. I don't know. Who knows?
We don't know. We're not told.
No. Those are some of the secrets that we're waiting for. We'll find out when we get there. Don't know. All right. So those are good questions. Feel free to ask your questions because there's a lot of things about this that are exciting and new and we just don't have the answers for. Revelation 21, again, verse number 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now that verse is loaded with information. All right, now let's just take a look at some of this. All right, so it's a literal city and it's called the new Jerusalem and it is now in heaven where God dwells. Later in this lesson, we'll see that we will see that during the millennium, it may hover over the earth as a satellite city and be the home of the immortal saints. After God creates new heaven and new earth, He will bring the new Jerusalem down from God out of heaven to the new earth. Now, there's a lot of things that have been speculated. We don't know for sure. Some people speculate, and I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but they speculate that it could be a satellite that hovers over the earth. Others say, no, it's actually going to come down and be implanted on the earth as a city that's on the earth. It's a huge thing, So either way, and we don't have any clue as to how large the new earth will be. I mean, our earth is big, but it's not near as big as some of the planets, and some, you know, even like the sun makes our earth look like a little tiny toy. And the sun's a puny little star compared to some of them. So, I mean, God could make it gigantic. We don't know how big it's going to be. And so bringing this New Jerusalem down there, he could put it on the earth as a city that he plants there, but we don't know those answers. All right.
You say there that the New Jerusalem is already in heaven now, where God dwells. We don't really know that, though, do we?
Jesus is making something.
Yes, he's making a mansion for me.
Where?
He's a carpenter. He's
busy. Where's that at? Floating in the sky?
In heaven.
In the New Jerusalem. No, it doesn't say that in John, but it doesn't say it's in heaven either. It says it's where his Father is.
All Jesus says is he's preparing a place for us.
Where his Father is. Okay. And the New Jerusalem exists now with God in heaven, and I believe that. And God will bring it down to earth to become the capital of the new heaven and new earth, our eternal heaven. All right, so this New Jerusalem that God, Christ is creating and preparing, where the throne of God is and all of those kind of things are there, he's going to bring that down. And then this place that Jesus went back to prepare, this is the place he went to prepare. Let's read there in John chapter 14. All right? John chapter 14, those first three verses. Important here as he discusses this. All right? Verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. All right? So what does the word mansion mean? Garrett?
A dwelling.
A dwelling place. All right? It's strange that they would translate it as a mansion. It's not what it means. It means a dwelling place. But because it's with God and it's in heaven and there's streets of gold, I mean, yeah, we could say...
One mansion is going to be a house with many mansions.
Well, the mansions means dwelling places.
Yes.
That's what the word means.
Not
so
just one.
There could be many dwelling places. All right, so there'll be many dwelling places, one for each of us. All right, and he is making it as beautiful as possible, like a bride for her wedding day. All right, so we saw that back in verse number 2 of Revelation 21. All right, so he's coming down from out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So God is making this New Jerusalem absolutely beautiful. And the best way John could describe it to the inspiration of the Spirit of God was it was like a bride that was prepared for her wedding. All right, so that's going to be a special time. All right, now, God will tabernacle with men. In other words, he'll dwell with them or live with them. We see this in verse number 3, Revelation 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. All right, so God's going to dwell with us. He's going to live with us. That'll be an awesome thing, because we'll actually be living right there with God. And we'll have immortal bodies. Now, we will have a body, and God is a spirit. And exactly how that interacts, you know, we're going to have to find out. But we will be immortal. That doesn't mean we're spirits. We're not going to be just, we will have a body like Christ's body. And what was Christ's body like after he rose from the dead?
Immortal.
It was, but what was it like? General.
Yeah, well, he could go in and out through walls.
No.
Sorry? Go through solid objects.
Okay, he went through solid objects. What else?
He ate food.
He ate?
Yes.
Anything else?
He had holes in his hands.
Yeah, he had the scars from the crucifixion. So there's evidence. He looked like a human. All right? And some of them didn't recognize him right off, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he looked strange. It might mean that he just put blinders on their eyes so they couldn't tell who he was.
It is likely that he looked, whatever this the heavenly form is, looks almost identical. And the reason I said it is, you look all through the Old Testament, angels were almost always, unless people were told, or they started catching on to the behavior, people always thought that angels were just men.
Well, God gave them temporary bodies to be able to look like men, either that or else that's what they actually look like in heaven. So you're right. So there's a lot of things here that we don't have all the answers for, but we can assume that we're going to look similar to what we do now, without the blemishes and without the, you know, the scars and the pains, but we'll look similar, I think. Will we recognize each other as, oh yeah, I recognize you? I'm not really sure about all that. But it doesn't really matter because we'll be with the Lord, and the Lord's the one that's going to matter in heaven. That's what we're really going to be focusing on. You know, these things, these men included those that were raptured and resurrected saints, also called the church or the bride of Christ or the Lamb's wife. All right, so Revelation 21:9 says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." All right, so he's talking about here the Lamb's wife, the bride. So God's going to tabernacle with men, so the men would include us. All right, and it also include the redeemed of the resurrected Israel. John 14, we saw that in verses 1 to 3 there. He was talking straight to the Jewish people, the disciples of Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 10, also mentions that. And then if someone wants to look up Hebrews 13, 4, 14 as well. Hebrews 11, 10 says, "For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." All right, so he's looking for, this was Abraham, was looking for this city. Whose builder and maker was God. And Hebrews 13:14, Luppies.
"For ye have not a continuing city, but we seek one to come."
Okay, so they're looking for another city, one that would be yet to come. Why? So the redeemed will be there. Then the resurrected redeemed of all the ages. So basically, everybody that knows Christ will be there. We'll be part of these that God will dwell with us. We'll dwell with God. We'll live with God during this time. It'll be a wonderful time. Those who have overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb will be there. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 7. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." All right? And Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11 speaks of this as well. Revelation 12. 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." All right, so these are the ones that overcame Satan, defeated Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And these are the ones that are overcome. Now, even the holy angels will be present there in the New Jerusalem. All right. Back to our text again, 21 and verse number 12. And it says, "In the wall, and had a wall great and high, and the 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written thereon, and are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." So the angels are going to be there. So it'll be an exciting time. We're going to spend eternity in this new Jerusalem or on this new earth. You know, we often talk about spending eternity in heaven. And that's true, but technically speaking, we'll be spending eternity on the new earth that God has created, with the new heavens around it, and heaven itself in the form of the new Jerusalem will come down. The dwelling place of God will actually come down to the earth. And so what will happen to the place where God presently now is? I don't know. All right? Maybe he'll create this new earth in that atmosphere of where his present heaven is. I don't know that either. There's a lot of things we aren't told. But there's lots of things you could dream about, think about, and speculate without becoming dogmatic about it, but it's fun to think about. There's a lot of good things to think about and a lot of great blessings that we have in store for us ahead. So the angels will be there. God will be there. The saints from all ages will be there. Just can imagine. Just think about that. For all eternity, being able to walk and talk with Noah and Adam and their wives and, you know, Abraham and Jacob, and just be able to sit down with them and talk with them. And I'm assuming that the Lord's going to enable us to remember some things. You know, that's another thing that, you know, when you start thinking about that, you really kind of, it's hard to really comprehend, because God tells us there, and we'll see this next week, that God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more sorrow, nor death, nor crying, nor pain. Well, so that means that there's certain things that even now that maybe you have in your heart that are, every time you think of it, it gives you heartache or pain. Well, somehow, all that's going to be gone. And yet, will we still be able to remember things? Well, what about the things that we now remember that aren't very happy type of things? Are we going to forget all those kind of things? Or are we going to have just such a perfect mind and a perfect body and perfect being that even those troublesome things we can view from the perspective of God and it won't bother us anymore?
Well, it's a fact that memories are stored in the brain. So if we're going to get a new body, we're literally going to get a new brain. So God can literally just change the computational programming and all that.
there's a lot of things we just don't know, isn't there? Any other thoughts or comments? Garrett?
Well, exactly. But you know when it says, heaven and earth shall pass by, but my words shall never pass by. Like, kind of sounds like he's also referring to the Bible, and that we would remember the Bible. I don't think I would just, in my opinion, we would just forget everything in the past. Like,
now, I personally don't think so either. Yeah, Sean?
I was thinking about the purpose of man. We were created to worship God, basically, and we've been given the ability to choose to do that or not, right? So those that are in heaven have chosen to worship God, and a bit like your comment about the new earth being so wonderful that we forget about the old one, I think, like, that's your job when you're in heaven, there, praise God and you glory Him. It talks about the casting down of crowns, talks about the thrones and all those sort of things. I think our primary focus in heaven is going to be on God and worshiping Him and giving glory to Him through our new bodies. So then if we do recognise each other, we're probably not going to be caught up in any of them. It's like you can't see past the brightness of God. That's how I kind of think of it anyway.
I think that there's probably a lot of truth to that. That right now, I mean, our lives are so focused on life and each other and our friends and our family. But there, God's going to be the focus. That'll be good. John?
It's important to note that even though God's nature is, like, He wants to be worshipped, like, because He is the ultimate creator, but at the same time, God delights in creating, He made us all social beings, social interactions. Now, even though He has the right to be worshipped completely and just solely, God's not anti-affection for other beings, anti-love and interaction of other beings. It's just, He's not like, even though He has the right to just be, it's just me, just focus on me, right? He doesn't, even in real life, even though we worship God, He never asks us to forsake our brothers and sisters and be only 100% just focus on Him completely all the time.
Yeah.
That's not how He created us here. Why would He create us like that? I don't think we'll just be 100% God 24/7.
Yeah. And, you know, the very fact that there are going to be, we're all going to be individuals. There have always been individual angels. We know that. God's named some of the angels. Mm-hmm. So the very fact that there's individuality and individual personality, there's obviously, we will have a certain degree of individuality there as well. Many people will ask, you know, am I still going to know my wife when we're there? Am I still going to love her? And what happens to the person that, you know, that they've their wife died and they married another one, and that she died and they married a third one, and then when they get to heaven, you know, what's that going to be like? And you know, all that. And even the Pharisees or the Sadducees, when they were asking Jesus those kind of questions, you know, what about this guy that, you know, had all these wives, and trying to trick him. But he said that when we get to heaven, there's not going to be marriage or given in marriage. So we know that we won't be married any longer. So that's not going to be the issue. But that doesn't necessarily mean we won't know each other. But there's a lot of things we just don't know. Jared?
Also, just came to mind is the story of Abraham and Lazarus. Like, they seem to have recognized each other.
Yes.
And even said, send someone to my brothers. Like, how would Abraham know that if he didn't know anything?
Yes.
I do. That he's still with him.
Yeah. You know? And they would have been, I mean, they were obviously dead, those guys.
Yeah.
But so they were with the Lord, or with in their eternal spirits. Yes, ma'am.
These days we're only supposed to have one wife. But Paul Solomon, he had about 300.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a problem. Okay, any other comments or questions? This is where we're going to end off today. Next week we'll pick up here and carry on from there.